Welcome to She Talks Tech, the brand new podcast from We Are Tech Women.
COVID-19 won't necessarily change those technologies, but it will change our relationship with them. So I want to take you through just a few examples of the way the COVID-19 crisis is shaping our view of technology and what this will mean for its role in society.
I'm Vanessa Vallelio-BE, founder of We Are The City and We Are Tech Women. As an individual that's been a technologist both in the corporate space and as an entrepreneur, I know how tough it can be to rise to the top of our profession. Women in tech make up just 17% of the industry in the UK, and those stats do not improve even if you look overseas. At We Are Tech Women, we want you to rise to the top of the industry. We want you to sit into senior positions and be key decision makers. The She Talks Tech podcast will bring you stories, lessons and tips from some of the most inspirational women and men in the industry. Today we hear from the incredible Emma McKendrew, who is the Intelligent Engineering Services Lead at Accenture Technology UKI. Emma joined Accenture in 2003 as a graduate and has since worked nationally and internationally in retail, energy and government. In 2015, Emma was recognised as one of the UK's exceptional young businesswomen in Management Today's 35 Women Under 35. During this podcast episode, Emma explores the role of technology over the next 10 years and the effect that COVID-19 has had on the industry. Emma will also be sharing insights into new innovations and what may potentially disrupt the industry as we know it.
I'm here to help us all look into the crystal ball and think a little bit about the future and technology trends over the next 10 years. But before we do that, let's all rewind a year, back to summer 19. As we approached the end of the decade, the end of the 2010s, we had seen some really thrilling technology advances. In fact, technologies that we might have thought of as emerging just a few short years ago were firmly established in businesses. Just look at cloud, Internet of Things, and even artificial intelligence. And with the rollout of 5G, with shrinking hardware costs and shrinking software costs, it seemed like this progress was only set to continue and to accelerate over the coming decade. But there was also trouble looming for the tech sector. We were starting to see resentment and public distrust mounting against technology. And at Accenture, we call that the tech clash. The business models that had built some of the world's largest, most famous companies were under increasing scrutiny, and many people were beginning to express concerns about how technology is used and what it is used for. And then 2020 dawned, and it has been memorable, to say the least. The word unprecedented has already been used an unprecedented number of times this decade. And when we first planned this keynote back in January, I was going to talk through Accenture's most recent technology vision, where we explore the trends that we think will be most important to business, people, and society over the coming 3 to 5 years. We could never have imagined back in January that the world would look as it does today. And one thing does seem certain, that even when this crisis recedes, the world is not going to go back to the way it was before. And so the question I've really been thinking about is, how will the COVID-19 crisis that we're facing change the course that technology had looked set to be on? Had this pandemic hit just 10 or 15 years ago, it would have been a very different story. Thanks to technology, we're able to 3D print parts for ventilators, we're able to deploy robots that can deep clean hospitals, and we're able to use technology to offer a lifeline to the most vulnerable in our society. For those of us that can, collaboration tools have made the move to working from home much easier. And by some estimates, the lockdown measures have almost doubled the UK's internet usage during the day. So it feels like COVID-19 has catapulted us into the future, whether we were ready or not. People and businesses are adopting technology faster than anyone could ever have imagined. Satya Nadella recently said that Microsoft had seen 2 years' worth of digital transformation in just 2 months. So will this be the end of the tech clash? Well, in fact, I think it could be quite the opposite, because COVID-19 has taken us on a journey where preserving public health has had to take precedence over jobs, commerce, and the broader economy. And in this new era, trust and accountability are as crucial for success as the technology itself. Our values are all changing, and with them, so are our expectations. So what does that mean for technology over the next 10 years? Well, I think that everybody joining here today already knows the technologies that will be important over the next 10 years. Artificial intelligence, robotics, even quantum computing, to name just a few. And today you're going to hear from some of the leaders in their fields about the exciting developments they're seeing. COVID-19 won't necessarily change those technologies, but it will change our relationship with them. So I want to take you through just a few examples of the way the COVID-19 crisis is shaping our view of technology and what this will mean for its role in society, as well as some of the unintended consequences that we always need to keep in mind. Because as technologists, we don't just get to predict the technology trends, it's also our job to shape them. Now, the first area I want to touch on is a staple of all tech trend discussions, and that's artificial intelligence. I'm sure you don't need me to tell you that AI will be significant over the next 10 years. It's now widely used by organisations to enhance automation and execution, and some organisations are now saying it just doesn't live up to the hype. But that's because automation represents only a fraction of AI's potential. We've recently seen more advances in AI technology that really increase its ability to understand and process data. Natural language processing improves a machine's ability to understand both the written and spoken text. And we've also seen advances in extended reality and computer vision, which are helping machines recognize people's physical surroundings. And we're also moving towards more explainable AI systems that help humans better understand the decisions that AI systems make. All of this put together means that AI can understand more about the world that we live in. And the next step is using all of this context and this additional data to understand and to react to human emotion. And some companies are already attempting to do this. There's a fantastic example, which is Soul Machine, based in New Zealand. And they've been creating digital humans that can read your facial expressions. They've even developed an AI baby. And these digital humans like Sam and Roman are already being used by companies such as Daimler and NatWest to make their automated customer experience more human and more lifelike. So when we look at the leading enterprises adopting AI today, they're not just automating processes, they're actually using these advances to foster human AI collaboration and to scale their collective intelligence. They're bringing together AI's capacity to use limitless amounts of data to explore new possibilities, and they're combining it with people's unique ability to direct and refine ideas. The Irish Revenue Agency is a great example of this. They recently launched a bot that knows when its answers are inadequate and when it needs to transfer someone to a human, and it can prompt updates and resolutions for the things that it knows don't work. Now, many of us have talked for a long time about the huge potential of AI to help us solve some of our most challenging problems. And with COVID-19, that moment has really arrived. In healthcare, human AI collaboration is playing a big role in the race to find a COVID-19 vaccine. And in Silico Medicine, a Hong Kong-based biotech company, they've repurposed their AI platform to expedite the development of a COVID-19 drug. And they're not the only ones using AI in this sphere. A team of researchers hailing from Harvard and the University of Montreal have also launched an AI platform that generates predictions of potential vaccine targets. But collaborating with AI in this way isn't a one-way street. We have to trust its guidance. Those medics and researchers have to trust that the AI is pointing them in the right direction to find a vaccine as soon as we humanly can. And up until now, trust in AI has been a stumbling block. A 2019 global Accenture study on AI found that one of the top roadblocks to scaling AI was the lack of employee adoption. But we're now seeing some of the attitudes towards technology change as a result of the role that it's played in this crisis, with people perhaps now more ready to engage with the technology and make use of AI. AI tools are helping to keep people healthy and informed, with everything from virtual healthcare assistants to AI-powered thermal cameras for fever detection. AI will be a big deal in the next decade. There's nothing new there. You didn't hear it here first. But successful human AI collaboration will take more than just the brains behind the people who are developing it now. To really harness the potential and the value of AI, we have to democratize it. And that means creating the context for people throughout an organization to use and benefit from AI, no matter what department they work in, no matter what role they do. And although there's quite a lot of pressure to move quickly at the moment, we do need to make sure that we're creating strong governance structures and educating those outside the field, because otherwise we risk seeing those unintended consequences like gender or racial bias coming back to haunt us over the next 10 years. And that means hiring more diverse minds from more diverse backgrounds into the profession. So over the next decade, moving from automation to collaboration will be the defining trend in AI. And those that take the time now to create the foundation capabilities and really think about human AI collaboration will be the ones who are positioned to use it most powerfully and to tackle bigger, more complex challenges in the post-COVID-19 world. By the end of the decade, I expect we will all be collaborating with AI to help us solve all sorts of challenges in our day-to-day lives. Now, it isn't just the perception of AI that is changing as a result of the crisis. In fact, robotics has suddenly come to the forefront of the news. The huge advances we've recently seen in AI, in speech recognition and computer vision, are making robotics more accessible than ever before. And whilst previously they were fairly limited to the factory floor and to drones, the growing concern over the risks of human-to-human interaction has seen robots deployed in the wider world to tasks that are deemed too dangerous for people. The Danish firm UVD Robots, for example, has developed a self-driving disinfection robot that's already been used in hospitals. And it uses UV light to completely disinfect rooms in 10 minutes. And it's easy to see how useful these and similar robots will be in helping communities come out of lockdown in everything from public transport, schools, to hotel rooms and restaurants. And other companies are already using robots to enable social distancing in the workplace. McDonald's and some of the other fast food chains are testing robots to use as cooks and servers. And companies like Amazon and Walmart are looking to increase their use of robots for sorting, shipping and packing within their warehouses. And you might have noticed that when we talk about robotics, it still seems very much about replacing the tasks that humans do. But the next step, in the form of companionship, is next on the horizon. These types of robots are already being developed. There's Robin the robot, which has been designed as a companion for sick children in hospital. And in a pilot, they found that it reduces the stress level of the sick patients by a third. At Accenture, in another example, we're working with AWS on devices to help the elderly. This newfound comfort with robotics will bring a lot of opportunities for businesses over the next 10 years through increased customer interaction, data collection, and even in branding opportunities. But again, we need to tread carefully because concerns about automation have been temporarily pushed aside. But what happens when we've got control of the pandemic? Do the robots continue to fulfill all of these tasks, or do businesses roll them back into storage? Whether it be through reskilling programs or human-machine collaboration, businesses need to ensure that they employ responsible long-term thinking on how these technologies supplement and aid and augment their workforce. Otherwise, we risk the next decade being defined by issues that we overlooked now starting to spiral out of control. The two technologies I've just mentioned will both be very significant over the next 10 years, but talking about them in isolation doesn't tell the full story. Arthur C. Clarke said that any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic. The real magic will happen over the next decade with these technologies and many more as we combine them to work together. I'm sure lots of people are tired of hearing about 5G by now, but there is a reason us technologists get so excited about it. The combination of virtual reality, haptics, and robotics makes remote surgery possible. But if you combine that with 5G, and thanks to the high speed and the low latency, it means that surgery can be performed on the other side of the planet. And examples like this aren't science fiction. It's already happening. In May, just a few weeks ago, a cancer specialist in Seattle guided a surgeon in London through an intricate surgery using augmented reality. Despite COVID-19 meaning they couldn't travel, the surgery was successfully performed 5,000 miles apart. So when the technologies of today combine with the technologies tomorrow, we'll see even more impressive leaps. Quantum computing's huge processing power is expected to be a game changer in the field of AI. And Google announced late last year that they had achieved quantum supremacy, completing a complex computation that would have taken the most powerful computer 10,000 years in just 200 seconds. There are some obvious barriers to quantum computing right now, but with the research into it from some of the world's biggest companies and smartest academic institutions and support from governments around the world, I don't think we will have to wait 10 years to start to see the benefits. Now, at the heart of all of this, driving everything I've discussed already today, is innovation. And it makes lots of eyes roll across boardrooms. But suddenly, it has become very clear that having innovation and experimentation in your very DNA is absolutely crucial to survival. And the impact of COVID-19 here is enormous. In a very short space of time, we've thrown all of our preconceptions of what is possible out of the window. Necessity has forced companies to work in completely new ways, blurring the traditional lines between industries and joining forces with partners they might never have imagined working with. McLaren and Dyson are both entirely repurposing their production lines to create new ventilators as part of the ventilator challenge in the UK. Or just look at Apple and Google, two long-standing tech rivals, coming together to create a contact tracing app that will work across both of their platforms. And organisations are now moving faster than ever. Take Tesco, for example. Tesco has achieved an increase in online capacity of 103% in the space of a few weeks. And that's growth that would normally have taken years to achieve. And it's not just retailers and manufacturers that are moving quickly. The National Theatre, which is a very innovative organisation, has attracted thousands of potential new theatregoers by very quickly broadcasting their shows online. And we've talked a lot about the thrilling technology and emerging technologies and advances that will shape the next decade. But underpinning them are new systems and ways of working. And it doesn't sound as exciting, potentially, but it is just as important in making those technologies a reality. In the coming years, organisations will all need to focus on innovation and their ability to experiment with new technologies as an absolute priority. And smart businesses will actually use this moment to get away from the legacy services and the systems that have been on the decline or holding them back. And they will prioritise creating agile architectures, agile systems and agile delivery methods and building up their innovation capabilities to serve them over the next decade. So as we look ahead, every organisation needs to identify the skills, the partners and the technology assets that they will need to be ready to react to anything that the next decade might throw at them. So now is the time to gear up for what's ahead, and there isn't a moment to spare. But although it's always exciting to look forward, I want to bring us back into the present for a moment. We can't ignore those problems that technology was facing before COVID-19. Our new reliance on technology doesn't mean that the issues caused by the tech clash at the start of this decade will disappear. And whilst we've been locked down within our homes, we've opened up our lives significantly to companies that now have vast amounts of data about our habit. Our reliance on digital channels means some organisations are learning more about us than ever before. Through sheer necessity, our online retailers, supermarkets, home and DIY, and department stores are gaining an unprecedented level of insight into who we are, what we're doing, what we like, and how we're living. And there's one department store that will remain nameless that I think knows more about me and what I've been up to in lockdown, what furniture I've been looking at, what hobbies I've been indulging in, what clothes I've been wearing, what I've been doing than most members of my family. That is a tremendous level of insight, and with it comes a tremendous amount of responsibility. But the traditional data gathering and analytics of old fail really to provide the transparency, the agency, or the authentic experience that most of us want. So businesses now need to look at how they start to give people back some agency when it comes to their digital identity. Blockchain has a bit of a controversial reputation in the tech world, but it could well be part of the answer. It could, for example, allow people to secure their own unique digital identity, only sharing information when they expressly consent to it. We don't have all the answers figured out just yet, but we can be certain that trust, or a lack of it, could be the difference between success and failure for businesses over the next 10 years. For the past two decades at Accenture, we have attempted to predict the future of technology, and we have had varying degrees of success along the way. But if there's anything that the COVID-19 crisis has taught us, it's that nobody has a perfect crystal ball. And that's perhaps exactly what excites me most about the next decade, because the possibilities seem almost endless. What we can be certain of is that our relationship with technology is closer and it is more complicated than ever before. And that is perhaps the single trend that will be most important over the next 10 years. COVID-19 has forever changed our experience of being a customer, of being an employee, a citizen, and being a human. And at the dawn of the new decade, we're seeing the dawn of a new set of values and expectations. What will these new values be? We don't know exactly what they will all be yet, but I'm hopeful that equality, inclusion, sustainability, and privacy will be high up the agenda. People are taking a much more active interest in what companies represent beyond profits. I'm hopeful that we will all hold business to account. If technology has defined the past two decades, it is our expectations and our values that will define the next. Over the next 10 years, it is those that use technology to change our expectations of what is possible and of what good looks like on the issues that we all really care about that will be the true disruptors. They will set the bar for everyone else to reach.
Emma, I can't thank you enough for being my guest on this episode of She Talks Tech and for being such a fantastic supporter of all of our work at We Are Tech Women. If you want to find out more about Emma, you can connect with her on LinkedIn. So a huge thanks to all of you for tuning in today. We really appreciate it. Don't forget, subscribe and rate our podcast. Every little helps.